Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Friday night, we have arrived to a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. A little bit of a shorter program this evening. We'll be taking it to about 7:35, 7:40, somewhere in there, before we get out of here to make way for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Cardinals in action tonight. They match up against the Diamondbacks, and that's going to be the start of a three-game series in the desert. Steven Matz on the mound this evening, and we'll talk about this game throughout the course of this program. And then, of course, we'll talk about it a lot once we get into Cardinals coverage officially coming up next hour towards the end of the hour. I will say this, and we talked about it a fair amount yesterday. The roster crunch with Lars Nootbaar returning and them not likely to play anybody other than Victor Scott or Michael Ciani in center field is going to, in all likelihood, result in some of their better hitters so far early on in the season maybe not being able to get into the lineup, and that would be the case so far today because Avan Herrera is not in the lineup. And it's just that's going to be the struggle here as they figure out what to do moving forward with that center field spot until Tommy Edman or Dylan Carlson comes back or until Victor Scott or Michael Ciani start to hit. You've just got some... you probably don't have your best run scoring lineup available if you're going to continue to have one of those two guys out there in center field on an everyday basis, because that's just the way things are. And so the lineup, the way it looks like tonight, Brendan Donovan will start as the DH, and he'll be leading things off. Paul Goldschmidt at first, batting first. Nolan Gorman at second, batting third. Nolan Arenado bats fourth. He's at third base today. Wilson Contreras, he's back catching, so that's good to see from him. So Contreras will be catching, batting fifth, batting sixth in left field. Lars Nootbaar, Jordan Walker is the seven hitter in right field. Mason Wynn, the shortstop, batting eighth. And then Victor Scott, he is in center field this evening, and he's going to bat in the ninth spot. So the guy who's out of the lineup today is Avan Herrera, and it seems like it's going to be almost impossible, if not totally impossible, to have a lineup that features Donovan and Herrera and Nootbaar in it all at the same time, while also keeping kind of the basic group that you've got in: Goldschmidt at first, Arenado at third. And I guess it's a good problem to have when you've got good players that you're having a hard time finding a spot in the lineup for. Where it's frustrating is it's a team that has not been especially good from an offensive standpoint this year, and Herrera has been very good offensively, and you just don't really have a spot for him in the order, and that's the way things are. We'll see how it plays out over the next few days. I think Herrera is still going to get a fair amount of at-bats. We'll see if they go with Nootbaar on an everyday basis. Defense does get better. That outfield defense now with Nootbaar in left and Scott in center, pretty much everything's going to be caught out there, and they've had such a focus on what they want to do from a defensive standpoint. This is a very good defensive club, the way you look at it, the way it's built for today. It's a roster crunch for sure, and something that they've got to deal with here moving forward. This is what we've got coming up on the program. We've got a few guests that we're going to get to in just a few minutes. we are going to be joined by Maury Brown, national baseball writer, good friend of the program. We'll talk with him. He does a lot of business of baseball stuff as well, so we'll get into a few things with him coming up on the program. Later on this hour, we are going to talk some City SC soccer with Danny Higginbotham. He's going to be the match analyst on the Apple TV broadcast for City coming up on Sunday. And then next hour, we're going to check in with our senior golf editor, Dan Reardon. He's going to join us at about 7:20. So a lot coming up here on the program today, and then we will get into Cardinals baseball coming up this evening with our coverage beginning again at 7:45 this evening for the broadcast. And yeah, Cardinals baseball against the Diamondbacks. A Diamondbacks team, it still feels kind of weird to refer to them as the defending National League champions, but that's what they are, and just continues to go into what has been, from a schedule standpoint, a very tough start to the season for the Cardinals with the teams they've played. The only team that they've played that wasn't very good was Miami, and going into the season, we didn't know that Miami was going to be as bad as they have been. They do play Oakland on this series, so that's a bit of a respite, but outside of that, you look at all these teams. They're going to play Milwaukee coming up. Milwaukee's had a great start to the season. They've got the Mets coming up at the end of April. The Mets just took 2 out of 3 from the Braves. They've had after a little bit of a tough first week, they've turned things around. That's not a bad team. So eventually they'll get to teams like the Tigers and the White Sox. Not that those are bad teams. The Tigers aren't horrible. They're 7-4. We'll see what they are coming up later on, but they've played some pretty good baseball here. That happens at the beginning of the season, and we're starting to maybe see a little bit of a drop-off at this point for a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates, who got off to a great start. They've lost their last two. They're in action right now as they match up against the Phillies. They do have a lead in the third inning, but I don't think the Pirates are going to play on a 9-2 pace from here until the end of the regular season. All right, we will take a break, and when we return, we are set to be joined by Maury Brown. He's going to talk through us a few different things to get to with him when it comes to baseball. That's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Paul.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A little bit of a shorter program today. We'll be done in about an hour and 20 minutes as we got to get out of here early for Cardinals baseball tonight. The Cardinals open up a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. 8:40 for first pitch. That means our coverage will begin at 7:45. Right now, very happy to be able to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line. Welcome on one of our favorite people to talk baseball with. He is Maury Brown, senior contributor with Forbes Sports. You follow him on Twitter at BizballMaury, BizballMaury. Maury, appreciate you taking the time with us today. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Matt. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You've been all over and tweeting throughout the day as some of this news has come down regarding the Shohei Ohtani situation. I like a conspiracy theory as much as the next guy, but the more information that comes out and the more details that come out certainly leads to quite possibly when Shohei is saying that he didn't know any of this was going on, that seems like maybe there's some more credibility and truth to that.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, it was always going to be a situation to where, yeah, there were some legitimate questions. I mean, I think the average person wonders how money comes out of their account and they don't get notified. You know, most of us have, you know, consumer protection or whatever it is. And then to have such large sums of money happen, that adds even more to it. But I always erred on the side of this thinking about how it is in the entertainment industry. I mean, it's not uncommon for public, you know, for public facing people, for assistants, for others to have access to information that we as common people may never dream of. And so I always wondered about that. And when we find out that he just simply went in, had access to his bank account, turn transaction notifications off, you know, portrayed himself as Shohei Ohtani when he called the bank and whatnot. It does look like it. And I've read all 37 pages of the investigation, and it really does look like, you know, unless something, of course, otherwise appears from further investigation or from Major League Baseball's investigation, that as he said at the outset, Shohei Ohtani is a victim here and really nothing more.
There's going to be people who hear that and they still remain very skeptical and don't see a scenario where Ohtani wasn't involved. But you mentioned you read all 37 pages, and there's a lot of text messages in there, and there would have to be a conspiracy involving, you know, governmental agencies and law enforcement and baseball and everybody for this to all kind of be put together in a false manner.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference here is that, you know, certainly we can armchair investigate this thing all we want. I mean, even investigative reporters, right? I mean, ESPN obviously gets credited with a lot of this. They discovered this for the most part. But really, I mean, stuff like, you know, forensics that are done on, you know, cell phones and being able to look at private messaging apps and whatnot that are part of this investigation. And, again, I just don't see it. I mean, there were thousands of text messages and looking at call logs and call information and call recordings, of course, that came into the bank and whatnot. I mean, they just looked at it and said, no. I mean, if there had been anything, you know, anything in there that said, screamed, hey, he's part of this thing, I think that it would be a different thing. But everything from what we see in this report really does make him look like a victim. Again, I think the biggest thing that comes out of this thing, Matt, is that, you know, I think that there's some naivete about this stuff. You know, you get an individual that's with you, that's your interpreter, that becomes more than your interpreter. He really starts, you know, doing things like running errands and doing stuff, and that you really can't trust anybody. I mean, I think that's the unfortunate discovery out of this whole thing. Shohei Ohtani already had kind of an interesting wall up around him already. And my fear about this is that going forward, he will become even more isolated as this kind of thing happens. He's been a victim. It's obviously damaged him in some way. We're still going to talk about this thing. And again, you mentioned it, as conspiracy theories are, no one is going to be satisfied.
No.
There will be someone out there that will simply say, you know, yeah, this is just all part of the plan.
This is kind of a sidebar, but Tisha Thompson's the ESPN reporter who's been all over this, and she was involved in the investigative reporting of the Washington Commanders. She's one of the few really investigative reporters that's left at ESPN, and as we continue to see downsizing in the journalism and media business, I feel like her work just shows you the importance of these people still being out here and looking for stories like these.
It's critical. And I would go even farther, Matt. I mean, this is something, you know, that doesn't speak to just sports. When we sit there and we look at your local newspaper, right? If you look at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, it's imperative that that paper stays alive and other, you know, smaller newspapers, because your local investigative journalism is what undercover, you know, digs up corruption and whatnot. And it has been shown time and again that as investigative reporting goes away, corruption tends to surface and become more prevalent. It would make sense. You know, nobody's looking over your shoulder. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I really do think outside the lines and everything that was going on at ESPN, it's difficult, right, that investigative journalism like that and hard-boiled reporting has gone by the wayside as we go and look to stuff like, you know, talk television, you know, or talk radio, where that becomes a lot easier to do hot takes than do something hard-boiled like they're doing.
Sports leagues have gone all in with gambling, and this is a little bit of a leap from me, but again, we're seeing gambling and sports come together in this story. There's been a lot of stories here recently about whether or not some athletes have potentially thrown games, especially when it comes to the sport of basketball. There's so much money to be made, and we know these leagues and these teams are going to do anything to make money, but then you start seeing the bad side of it. I know you've been looking at the business of sports for a really, really long time. How do you see the future moving forward where this can get a little bit more under control and there's not this feeling of some not-so-great things going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, this has so many far-reaching tentacles that it's, I think that it's moving faster than a lot of things that are moving so fast. It's difficult for everything that touches it to get in front of it. And by that, I mean, here's a prime example. I'm a member of the BBWAA, and we had to sit back and go, this is an important matter. You know, reporters that have inside information in the clubhouse, how do we ensure that there's policies in place as baseball writers to ensure that that information isn't used by either reporters or potentially leaked out in other ways or written about that influences betting lines? It's become so difficult and so intertwined that unwinding it almost makes it impossible. And the leagues are not going to walk away from this thing. I think the unfortunate matter of this is that it's revenues. They're huge revenues, especially for football and basketball, that it is just going to be impossible for it to go away. Now, the leagues will say this. We've got rules in place that say really straightforward that if you're a team exec, if you're a league executive, if you're a player, or if you're personnel around any of that stuff, and you're caught gambling, there are going to be repercussions. In baseball, there are repercussions with suspensions of up to a year or maybe longer if you're caught betting, but it's not on baseball. And we know what happens if you bet on baseball. You wind up being Pete Rose. And that was the concern here with Shohei Ohtani. But again, it's one of those situations to where that on the surface of it looks like such a simple thing, where again, it's just almost impossible to get away from it. I think it's a very legitimate problem. The billions of dollars that are being wagered by people is always going to provide an angle for somebody to try and get in there and influence outcomes. I mean, there's just so much money involved in it.
Absolutely, 100%. Before we get you out of here, I want to talk through the uniform situation a bit. Nothing has changed. There was some speculation that maybe Nike and Fanatics would find a way to fix the uniforms a little bit before the season got started. That hasn't happened. I know the Cardinals don't have their full assortment of uniforms yet. A lot of teams across baseball have not yet received everything. There was another situation the other day where someone slid and the pants just, you know, split wide open. Is this something that could be fixed this season, or is it going to take until next season and beyond for there to be a true fix on this situation?
Well, they got to get it fixed now because we shouldn't be talking about it. A lot of times what happens with this stuff, Matt, is it's the run-up, right? It's the off-season, whether it's a rule change, you know, the pitch clock, whatever it is. And then once the season starts and people get used to it, it goes away. Well, you're not getting away from this. I mean, you see a guy's pants split down the seam sliding into a base, and that's significant. It's embarrassing. So something has to get handled now. I mean, the league can only continue to sit there and say, well, you know, they're working on it and these things happen and blah, 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 or whatever they're going to try and redirect on it. It just looks terrible. So I can get into the materials. Okay, you want to do that. Then you're going to have to do something with the quality of building this stuff out. I imagine, God willing, that this thing is all handled before much longer. It just cannot continue to go on. If we're still talking about this in August, then I'm going to say, you know, there's going to be a mountain of stories. People, it'll be all anybody's talking about. And that's the last thing Rob Manfred or Tony Clark with the Players Association or the players want to talk about. They want to talk about the games. They don't want to talk about uniforms, if they can help it.
What's incredible is there's a million photos on Twitter where you see the fan jersey where a fan is wearing a previous jersey versus one now. And just from the aesthetics on the back, it looks so much better what was before. And it's amazing that nobody ever like did that and compared just how it looked.
I'm sure that somebody sat there and did. Look, there's no way that thing didn't go through 1,000 meetings. Somebody saw it. And I don't know why or how anybody sat there and said, you know what, fans just won't notice, or they'll get over it, or they'll move on. It's bad.
Yeah.
It really is bad. I mean, if the idea is that you're trying to make, you know, what is considered, you know, in the top four major leagues in North America look cheap, then that's what's happening here. It just makes it look Bush League. It just is not something that you want to see. And again, it's a total embarrassment. That the design factor is absolutely something that should not have happened. The lettering especially, either the size of it, which has gotten smaller, or how it's applied, it just looks bad. It looks cheap.
It looks very cheap. Moore, we always appreciate your time. Have a wonderful weekend. We encourage people to follow you on Twitter, BizBallMoore. Read you at Forbes Sports. Thanks for the time, and I'm sure we'll catch up again real soon.
All right, Matt, you have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Maury Brown joining us here on the program, one of my favorite people to be able to talk to. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some City SC soccer. We don't have a City game until Sunday this week. They're going to play a Sunday afternoon contest, but we'll talk some City SC with Danny Higginbotham. He's going to be on the call for the MLS season pass, the Apple TV MLS season pass, and he'll join us coming up in just a moment or so. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it here on a Friday night. We're going to get done in about an hour from now, and then we'll get into St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Cardinals in action tonight, opening up a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. City SC, they are going to be in action coming up on Sunday as they host Austin over at City Park. On the call on MLS Season Pass and on Apple TV, Danny Higginbotham. He is somebody who's been a match analyst for MLS Season Pass after playing 18 years and making 415 appearances as a defender, including more than 200 in the Premier League. He was in St. Louis earlier this year for a City game, and now he's coming back this weekend, and we welcome him on to the program via the Quiver River Electric guest line. Danny, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. It's my pleasure. How's things with you?
Things are good. We're excited for some afternoon soccer this weekend. We don't get that every weekend for sure. And City's still trying to find a win. I guess as you've been looking at this team, there's been a lot of draws lately. It's been a while since they've won a game. How would you evaluate what's going down right now with City SC?
I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. I think it's a team that had an incredible season last year. I think they were sort of a surprise package, probably more of an unknown entity. Whereas this year, you know, I think teams obviously are more aware. Their style is very unique. And, you know, I think what we're seeing now is a team that's just evolving. And, you know, teams, especially when St. Louis are playing at home, teams are coming and saying, okay, well, you're going to have to break us down. We're not going to leave ourselves open. So you're going to have to be patient in possession. You're going to have to try and get the better of us. And, you know, it's a sign of respect, and it's a difficult one because at times then you become a victim of your own success because of how well they did last season. And, you know, as much as, you know, Bradley Carnell's doing a wonderful job, and from his side of things, he'll look at it and go, it's great that teams pay us so much respect because of what we've done, we've deserved, and we've earned that respect. But then you've got to find another way, and that's where they're at the moment. And I have no doubt that they'll be able to do that. It's just sort of that evolving and transitioning period at the moment. But like I say, it's very early on in the season. I think they'll be absolutely fine.
The narrative coming out of training this past week from Klaus and from Bradley Carnell and from a lot of other people were, they're doing the right things. They're just not scoring goals. You know, for Klaus as a striker, that's a really challenging thing for him when he can look at the tape and see all these things that he's doing correctly, but it's not coming up on the score sheet at the end of the game. How tough is it from an individual standpoint and from a team standpoint where you feel like you're doing a lot of things right, but at the same time, you're not seeing any fruits of the labor?
I think there's two ways to look at it. I think I'd be more worried if you weren't creating chances. I think that would be, you know, the more concerning thing. I'm sure that if you were to ask Bradley Carnell, if you were to ask any of the forwards, whether it be Klaus or Dennerin, they're like, yeah, we're getting the chances. And it's one of those, because obviously you look at Klaus, he's just got the one goal this season, and Dennerin, he's got two, and that's a joint top goal scorer. It's one of those, you get into a rhythm. And what I'm saying is, in terms of evolving now, the amount of times last season, you know, St. Louis would catch teams on the counter-attack, would get in behind, would then use the pace, would then use the way that they were able to link up when they got behind the opposition defence. You're not finding that now. Opposition teams are saying, no, we're going to sit deep. You're not going to be able to do what you did to us last year, do what they did to a number of teams last year. So along the way, not only are you evolving as in terms of a different style, but sort of keeping that identity, you've also got to find another way to try and score goals. And I think the fact that this is a team that is, like I say, is all about, you know, maturing and changing little bits in terms of their style, for that to be going on but still creating chances, then I think that's a good thing. If this was happening but chances weren't being created, then I think it would be more of a concern. So I think from that side of things, it's not bad. Like I was there for the NYC game earlier on in the season. They were absolutely brilliant. NYC played into their hands that day, though, where they tried to play out from the back, and it was brilliant. It was exactly what St. Louis wanted. But, you know, you're going to get a large majority of teams now are not going to do that. So what you want to do, you need to start fast. And obviously the fans play a huge part. If a team like St. Louis playing at home, start fast, get that early goal, more often than not, they're going to be able to keep hold of that lead, because the opposition then have to come out of their starting slots, if that makes sense, in terms of play a higher defensive line. So I just think it's just the teething problems of finding a different way, evolving, players getting used to a different way as well. And like I say, you know, it's so early on in the season that I really don't think there's cause for concern at the moment.
From an injury standpoint, some good news. Bradley Carnell saying earlier today, after a full week of training, we're likely to see Joachim Nielsen and also Edward Leuven play this weekend. Leuven isn't ready for a full 90 minutes quite yet, so probably won't start. But as this team does start to get healthier, how big can that be for them?
Oh, huge. And I think the player that you've just mentioned there, Leuven, I think, you know, obviously he's not played the last four games. What he gives you, he gives you the ability, especially if he's starting a little bit deeper at times, he gives you the ability that he can pick a pass, he can open up a tight defense. And when he's got the ability to do that, then other players come more into the game. So he's obviously, we know that he's such a key player, but I think even more so now with the way the opposition teams are just sitting deep and narrow, he becomes even more important because he can create something from nothing. He can pick that pass that, you know, is a specialist pass that not a lot of players will be able to see. And when you're playing against a tight defense where their midfield and the defense is so close together, then you have to have a player like that that can open a defense. So, you know, the sooner that he's back for the team, it's going to be great to see as well. And obviously you've mentioned about Nielsen as well, the experience that he brings at the back. I know that I think in preseason he only played 45 minutes as well, and you know he's not played a few of the games this season as well. But like I say, I look at this team, you look at the fullback positions as well. They've brought in more sort of fullbacks that are going to advance, that are going to get forward, and that I think is sort of forward thinking, because I think at the end of last season, St. Louis looked at it and went, we're going to be playing against teams that are going to sit deep against us. And teams that sit deep will go narrow as well. So the space is going to be in those wider areas for the fullbacks to get forward. And I'm really looking forward to the game on Sunday. I think it'll be a great occasion. You've got an Austin team that love to dominate the ball, although I think it'll probably be different like it was at Austin when Austin didn't have as much possession. But that's part of the process when you're a team like St. Louis that had an incredible first year. You're going to get that respect. And sometimes it's a type of respect that you don't necessarily want, but you've earned it because of how well you've done.
Danny Higginbotham continuing to join us here on the program. You played over 200 matches in the Premier League, number of teams, including Manchester United. You've been all over the soccer world. As you see what's going on in St. Louis from a facility standpoint, from a game environment standpoint, how does it hold up to maybe some of the other top environments you've been at, either as a broadcaster or as a player?
Oh, I love it. I love it. You can just feel it. And it's like the amount of times like people say, oh, you know, it's the 12th man. And like people say, oh, you know, that's just a cliche. But it really is. And I think that the fans of St. Louis, if you look at the fans and you look at the players, you look at the style, it's sort of as one, because the fans are so loud. That enables the team to get off to a fast start. That enables the team to get in the opposition faces. I remember myself when I was playing at Stoke City, we were in the Premier League. Our home form was fantastic. And that was because the fans and the players were sort of as one. And what we did, we mirrored the area. We mirrored, our style mirrored what the fans wanted to see, which was the front foot, the tackles flying in, they're having nothing left when you go off the pitch. And it's very similar for me with St. Louis. When I see St. Louis play, when I go to their stadium, you can just feel the energy from the players. You can feel the energy from the fans. And when that just meets and unites in the middle, then, you know, it's very, very difficult to stop this St. Louis team. And for me, obviously, it's taken a while to get the team into MLS. But you look at the history, you look at the players that have come from St. Louis, you look at the World Cup in the 50s, there was a number of players that were part of the US men's national team that beat England as well. So there's so much history within St. Louis as in terms of football, and it's now great to see that they have this team that's been successful, a wonderful stadium, a great fan base, which, you know, they fill out the stadium every single week. Every time they're playing at home, they fill a stadium out. If you had a stadium that was probably 30, 35,000, it wouldn't surprise me if they filled that as well. So it's always great enjoyment for me going there as a broadcaster, because what happens, yes, you enjoy the game, you enjoy the way that St. Louis play, but the atmosphere and everything drags you along with it as well. And all of a sudden, you find yourself shouting and getting involved in everything that's going on, because the atmosphere around the whole of the stadium is just magnificent.
Danny's going to be the analyst coming up on Sunday afternoon. City SC, they are in action, and they got it on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. Danny, thanks so much for taking some time with us. Have a great call, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
As Danny Higginbotham joining us on the program again, he's going to be on the call coming up this weekend. City going to host Austin. That's going to be a 3:45 start on Sunday. That's our Ponce Health Sciences University City Game Time. Ponce providing world-class education in healthcare. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I want to get into a little bit of what went down. Not changing of the guard, but certainly a different dynamic when it comes to SEC basketball next year because of some coaching changes that have occurred. And the way it went down was interesting, with John Calipari heading to Arkansas, and Kentucky made their decision, but it took them a while to find somebody who would tell them yes. What does this mean for these programs moving forward? Of course, Missouri is impacted by that. We'll get into it in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Starting to wrap up hour number one of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Again, coming up less than an hour from now, we'll get into coverage of Cardinals baseball. Cardinals Diamondbacks tonight. Steven Matz on the mound. Much more on the Cardinals coming up, but next hour. Well, the coaching carousel that we've been watching in St. Louis with SLU landing Josh Schertz, that went a little bit more according to plan than some other coaching searches out there. Louisville certainly had some issues. At one point, there were rumblings that they were going to have a press conference, and then they didn't. But I don't think anything can beat what happened with Kentucky. So John Calipari decides, again, Kentucky fails in the postseason this year. And you wonder, was that going to be it? Was that going to be the end for him at Kentucky? Well, his contract put it in a place where the school really couldn't move on from him. He was getting paid a lot. He essentially had a lifetime contract for after he was done coaching. There was just a lot going on there, so he would have to make the decision to leave. He made the decision to leave, and he goes to Arkansas. Now, to make that decision to leave, essentially the school had to agree with him. The school had to let him out. So if you're Kentucky and you're allowing Cal to walk out those doors, you would think that you would have some confidence. Because you're Kentucky, you would think that you would have some confidence that you would be able to go and get somebody that would be great for the program. And I'm not intentionally trying to take shots at Mark Pope, who ends up getting the job, but raise your hand if you even knew who Mark Pope was 2 days ago. I bet there's not a lot of people raising their hands. We know that Kentucky swung and missed on Billy Donovan, Jay Wright, Danny Hurley, Scott Drew, Nate Oates. We don't know if they made a phone call to Bruce Pearl. We don't know if they made a phone call to maybe bring Patino back. Like, there just seemed to be a lot of choices that were better than Mark Pope. They're letting John Calipari walk out the door. And look, he's not the perfect coach. He has not kept up with the times. I get it. But he's a Hall of Fame coach that brings in high-level talent on an every-year basis. You're letting him walk out the door for a guy who's never even won an NCAA tournament game. And you're Kentucky. Like, that, how does that happen? How does that happen? And BYU is a tough place to coach. It's a tough place to recruit to for obvious reasons. So give Pope credit for that. Maybe this is just going to be a home run hire and he's going to be great at Kentucky. But man, this right now, you talk about trying to win a press conference. They have not won a press conference with this hiring. Hour two up after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.